Hi, everybody. I'm like sitting side saddle here. Well, thank you so much for being here today. This, again, is a little bit of a different kind of a service for us. But really what we did is we asked some people here to share their story and how God called them to a specific role or mission or ministry. And so you're going to hear a little bit from them. But really what this was, this is an idea for this Sunday that was come up between Pastor Monte Dillard, who is the interim general director of the Church of God right now, and Chip Taylor and a couple of other people who work for Trellis. And they all got together and they said, we really want to focus in the Church of God about helping our congregations answer the call to ministry. Whatever ministry that looks like, whatever service that looks like to the kingdom, we want to better equip and talk about it more. And that way it's easier for people to talk to and they're like, I think God might be calling me to like try this or volunteer here or reach out and do this. We want to make that a little bit easier to walk into just because we're all doing it. God calls all of us individually to do something for the kingdom. There's no one who believes in Jesus who gets left out of that calling. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like in our life. So we've asked people to share just a 2 to 3 minute, and I got a big old hook. I'm going to swoop you off stage if you go over. And we're going to go real quick at just what a time in your life that God called you to something. And what that looked like for you. Just so people can see an idea of like, it's not just pastors who get called. People can get called to a lot of other different areas. And you can still be obedient to God, both in your vocation and outside of your vocation or occupation. So we're going to start with Alan and we're going to go, but I'm going to give you the hook. All right.
That's why I wrote it down. I am guilty of talking a lot. As far as a calling from God, my story, many of you may know, most of you probably do know, but in 1982, at the age of 28, I entered a program of recovery because I drank too much. Severe alcoholic and drug addict. And through this 12-step program, it pushed me towards not only recovery, but service work. And it became kind of my lifeline. It's how I existed for probably 4 years. But it prepped me for more. In January of 1986, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and started attending South Emerson Church of God. I soon found out that you could go on foreign mission work camps with Brother Sam Harrington. So late in January of 1987, I made my way to Caicá, Colombia, which is just outside of the capital, Bogota, and I fell in love with mission work. I just loved serving. In September of 87, I loved it so much, I went back and went to Haiti, and again, I felt this nudge from God, like maybe he was calling me to full-time mission work. So in 1988, I applied to two sending agencies to go to Medellin, Colombia, with my small family at the time, and yeah, and was denied entry into their program. They did not want me. I was confused, a little bit discouraged. I'm thinking, so what is going on? I felt this nudge, and it's just not being fulfilled. So I kept growing in Christ. I taught junior high Sunday school, and I helped with the youth group. Still desiring full-time mission work, a person that I went to Haiti with suggested that I take over a Bible study at the Salvation Army Adult Rehab Center downtown Indianapolis, and that maybe my mission field wasn't overseas, maybe my mission field was in Indianapolis. My calling. And thank you, Sandy Leach. I taught Bible every week for 27 years. Every Thursday, I went down around 6 o'clock, and I taught. They gave me an hour that I could teach Bible. I stayed in the four Gospels. I thought, what Jesus says is good enough for me. And I stayed there and taught through it and only stopped teaching because of COVID. The restrictions of COVID cut that ministry off. Well, at the same time, I started teaching trades at Greenwood High School. It's a second calling from God to teach. Again, thanks to a person in the Sunday school class that met upstairs, and thank you, Rhonda, and I've taught there for 7.5 years. Teaching teenagers in the public school system has allowed me to, yes, slightly, subliminally, and kind of undercover, and speaking the right words, I can provide some biblical teaching, and I can prepare students not only for construction, but I can help them get along with the hurts of life, and I can also bring about a little bit of grace, forgiveness, and hope. It's very interesting. I went to college. I went to Anderson College to be a teacher, and I lasted one semester. And it wasn't, I mean, I didn't get in any real severe trouble. I just had a drinking problem, and I smoked pot. I smoked a lot. And it took me out of teaching, and all I could do was construction. But isn't it amazing the full turn of events that through the construction and through the college and through everything, I get to do what I dreamed of doing. And God's calling was part of my life search, and I just love it. The last thing I'm going to say is, as far as the church, I get to pray. And I am blessed to pray. And I'm part of a great group of people that want to pray. And that can be your calling also. Amen.
Well, you guys know me. I like to be short and sweet, so I'll keep mine under to make up for some time. My calling, I guess, is different than anyone up here because, well, I guess all of our callings are different, but mine is unique in that I've been an ordained pastor since 2009, but I've never, not once, been a full-time pastor. So I've always been bivocational, so I am part-time pastor, and then, well, part-time pastoral work, and then the other part-time, I've done lots of other things throughout my life. I would also say that I've never been a full-time pastor yet, but, you know, who knows? I've never really felt like God has called me to say things like always and never. You know, life changes and things happen, and who knows what God's going to call you to next. But, you know, for a time when I was younger, I did trades, some with Alan and some with other folks as my other part-time work. I ran that house as my full-time job for almost 10 years. And now I actually have transitioned out from that, and I work for a different company full-time now. And I think what has most inspired my calling, there's two things. Thing number one is I've always loved the verse from Psalm 27:4 that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So for me, I'm just kind of have always sought after who the Lord is and who he's called me to be and just kind of go with my gut from that point forward. I just do what feels right if I'm trying to seek the Lord. And then the other one that is, you probably know, is, you know, the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. You know, when we started that house, our goal was simple. Just figure out what it meant to most practically love our physical neighbors, our actual neighbors. And that's just been something that has felt like a calling, very like, specifically, like, love your neighbor in a way that, like, the person that's right next to you physically, actually. So whether that's working construction or whether it's my neighbors I actually live by or whether now in my other job that I work, if it's the people in my office, like, that's been my calling alongside my bivocational pastoral calling. So
thank you. I was called to be... Go ahead. That's... I was called to be a high school teacher in agriculture, probably about sixth grade, and I realized I'm going to need a lot of Jesus. And then, thank God, he gave me my wife, Martha. So as we went into ministry and the mission field, then I had my two best helpers right along beside me. Our church had a missions conference every single year. A lot of times in the missions conference, people were called into giving to the missions. They need money and prayer. But then sometimes people actually were called into the mission field. And this is where Martha and I felt the calling to become foster parents at a missions conference. So I think that's a great idea. It was the work of the Holy Spirit to calm our hearts, speak to our hearts, and say, you can say yes, and I will be with you, says the Lord. So we did that, but we had no idea how big this challenge would be to become foster parents. Now, we're parents. We had kids. Oh, sweet, beautiful, Christ-like little kids in our home that memorized Bible verses and songs. So we got this parenting thing, right? No. Okay. Martha once called me during vacation Bible school and said, come in here. You got to see this little girl in the sanctuary and how great she sings, and she's just lighting up the room with her bright eyes and her wonderful song. She's about 10 years old, redheaded. Her name was Holly, and she was born on Christmas Day. So we took her home, you know, just for a few hours, and then on Sunday we had her for a few more hours, and then spring break, summer break, Christmas break, and we got to know her, and that was our mission field. We thought, we're going to be foster parents. This kid's a pretty nice kid. Well, we didn't have her 24/7. We just had her during some breaks. And then she went to White's campus in Wabash, Indiana. White's Family Services is the agency we worked for and opened doors for us to be ministers of the gospel to foster kids. All right, got to watch my hand. This is my hand, and this is describing Dan and Martha with foster kids. My social worker said, Dan and Martha, you're the most boring people we know. But the good news is, you always had the electricity on. You always had running water. You always had food. Your cabinets are full of food, and your refrigerator is full of food, and the freezer is full of food, and you have meals on time. And in the morning, the kids get up, and they prepare themselves, clean up, and get ready for school. And that was completely foreign to many of the kids. The consistency, the food, mealtime, prayer, Sunday school, church, but boy, they like youth group. You want to know why? Huh? Girls and boys. Well, they start with F. Okay. Food, fellowship, and for the boys, females. But it's at fellowship time in a safe environment, and we've got food, and we've got adults who love us and care for us. This was a big change for many of them. And so that was a tough thing for me to come over. Oh, wait. Holly opened the door, but many other kids, maybe over 70 kids, benefited from our home, but we did it for 27 years. Now, we had to adjust, but our family had to adjust. Our friends had to adjust. Our church people had to adjust with these strange kids in our home. In fact, one of the fine church women said, oh, I'm worried about your kids, Dan, around those kind of kids. Your kids might be damaged. Your kids might be hurt. Are you sure you want to have those kind of kids in your home? And he said, you know, Jesus opened the door, said, go, and we're going to go. And you know what? Jesus helped us. But we might have had some stiff-necked people, even in our church, that were looking like, oh, my gosh, you can't really do that. You can't really mean that. But, yes, Jesus was with us all the way. Now, you know who my best supporters were? The men's prayer group, because I was intimate with them, and they were very prayerful for us, okay? But when the foster kids went to school, I want you to imagine all the levels. You know who was the most accepting of a foster kid? The bottom level. Why? They take anybody. So does the sports team. So we're thankful for the sports team too. Sunday school, the men's prayer group who helped us. And finally, we just saw Jesus do miracles. I would call my men's prayer group friends. I would call the pastor, and we would cry and pray. Have you done that lately? Have you cried and prayed about anything? Have you answered the call to missions? Because it's out there. So I want you to answer the call to missions, and I want you to someday tell us how your life was completely wrecked and completely changed for the better.
Thank you. That's great. I love this. So basically what we're doing up here is we're planting a few seeds. So there's more to these stories. If any story resonates with you, if you have more questions, please come and talk to someone up here afterwards. I'm going to be really quick. My name's Daniel. I'm a pastor. I started sensing that in high school. And then in college, I had an internship with youth, and it wasn't going great. And I questioned myself, and I thought, people better than me are pastors. Fortunately, that summer, while I was feeling like being a failure as a pastor, my family had a trip to Israel. And as we went there, a couple huge things happened. One of the ones, my family kept pushing me to do something, and that was buying an engagement ring. So just like Dan's no, we need a good partner. And so that led to a proposal with Jenny, and we're a team too. That's very important for us. Me, Jesus, and Jenny, the J's. And I wanted to be like another J, Michael Jordan, and that didn't happen. So my basketball dreams never came to pass. But I realized that when I was 20 that I wasn't going to make it as a basketball player. But at the there was this time where we were at the Sea of Galilee, and that's where the resurrected Jesus showed up one morning. Peter had gone out to go fishing, and Peter had felt like a failure because he blew it. He came back onto the shore, and eventually Jesus said, "Feed my sheep 3 times. And as we were at that spot, I just kind of envisioned that, and I just started crying. I got very emotional. And for me, that meant, hey, it's about the calling, not how good you are or aren't. So that for me was just a sense of calling. Because I've wondered a lot of times, should I be a pastor? I don't feel good enough or equipped. But I go back to that calling, and if the Lord calls us to do something, he equips us to.
Well, my calling was very specific, to be a physician. And I don't know if y'all know that, but it was planted in my heart very, very young. I used to ask my mother to read me the accident reports from the newspaper. And she would skip things, and I didn't read, but I knew when she would skip things. So from a very young age, I wanted to be a physician. And in high school, I told them at the high school I wanted to be a physician, and they sort of, yeah. And I wasn't the valedictorian. I wasn't the salutatorian in any way. And then I went to Anderson University, and I was in the dorm one night, and I was very distraught about, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And I was walking up and down the hallway, and I was trying to think of other things that I really might do, commercial art or, you know, piano or something. And but I really wanted to be a physician. And so very clearly, the Lord says to me, almost audibly, you do your part, and I'll do my part. And so he has.
Amen.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nick. I've been going to Renew for a while. I feel like my calling was never specific. I just was called to kind of 3 things. So I don't know, I guess sometime 18 to like 21, I was meditating because I felt like, I don't know, my 18 to 21 of my life was, oh, I'm called to do a lot of things, and then every door slammed in my face really hard. It was like, oh, I guess I got that wrong. So then I kind of just came to 3 simple things that I'm called to do, which is kind of led me a lot of weird directions. So the first one is I just wanted to be planted in a community and just irrationally never leave. So, which that kind of ended up being Meridian the young adult ministry I do and Camp Challenge. So, like, even when it's difficult, I will just stay no matter what, which sometimes seems irrational. I want it to be available. So if you ever have been in a community for a long time, there will always be needs. And if you just commit to be available and I'm going to move when it happens, you'll end up doing a lot of crazy things. And then I want it to be persistent. So whenever, random fun fact, if you're staying in a community, you're not leaving, you're available to do things, you're going to do things you don't want to do, things that are hard, and persisting, even when it would be easy to give up, was kind of always what my calling has been. So, which has kind of led to a lot of weird things. 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old Nick would have been like, yeah, that's really simple. That's super easy to accomplish. I just have to go to church, and I have to be available when they ask for help, and then I just will stick around and be irrationally here. So, seems simple, but going into being 32 soon, it is not easy. And it's kind of led to a bunch of difficult things. And I would say, like, the cost at the time, I probably wouldn't have been willing to pay at 18. But now I'm like, I can look back at all the things I got to do. I got to do children's ministry. Never thought I'd do that. Got to do youth ministry. Kind of could have pegged that because I grew up in the youth group here. Got to work at Camp Challenge and every job known to man. And then got to just start a young adult ministry, which kind of just came out of, if you consistently do something, they'll show up. And if they don't, well, it'll happen next week. So I guess that's just been my calling, is super simple, and I feel like when you put those things into practice, it can make all the difference.
Thank you. I'll quickly share my calling, and then we'll wrap up here. But I was called to ministry when I was about to ready to go into my freshman year of high school. I grew up in a pastor's home, and I adamantly said I would be anything but a pastor. I was very strict on that. I had lots of big ideas, and none of them were pastor. And I was at IYC in Denver, Colorado, and they were asking anyone who felt called to ministry to come forward and be anointed. And I said, I was like kind of thinking in my head, kind of praying, kind of just thinking. And I was like, wow, I am so glad that I'm not one of those suckers that has to walk up there and do that forever. And I was like, wouldn't that just be the worst? I'm so glad that's not me. And as I kind of like came to like back into reality, I realized like I was walking forward up to the front. And I kind of had this moment where I was like, I don't think I want to do this. And God was just like, do you trust me? And I was like, I guess. And I got anointed, and then I was like, that's good. Like, I can do lots of ministry. I can do nonprofit work. I can do all these other things. And I was like, I don't have to be a pastor to do ministry. And then I did an internship with Intern Academy with Chip Taylor, and I was in North Carolina for a summer and working with the youth ministry. And I was like, I could maybe do pastoral ministry, but I'm not going to be a youth pastor. That sounds like the worst. And then all of a sudden, a door here opened up for, you know, me to come to Meridian. It was a church I loved, and it was a church I believed in, and it was with students that I knew and loved, and it was like, I think maybe I could do this. And it's been one of the biggest joys, not one of, it's been the biggest joy of my life to be here, be a pastor on staff, and like, this is what I'm called to do, like, forever and like, full time. So, I would like to say, if you feel like you're in a calling where God is calling you to do something and you're like, no, that's actually the one thing I told you I would not do. It does work out. and so just be open to it, and you don't have to jump all in immediately. Like, there are steps, there are levels you can take. Just take the next step, whatever that is. Even if you're afraid of where that will lead you, it can lead you to a lot of crazy places. It can lead you to a lot of different things, as you can see. But take whatever that next step is. And so today, we're going to ask you, what is your next step? What is God calling you to, and what is your next step? And this could be, you know, in your life. So think of, you know, Alan did construction, and when he was like doing construction, he was ministering to people, but his calling was teaching the Bible to people. So you see, that's different. That wasn't his occupation necessarily. It was his calling. But Carol, her calling was to be a physician, and she was able to work for the kingdom, being with people in the hospital, being with children, helping them feel comfortable in the hospital during really hard times. That was her occupation and her calling. So you see how they can be the same, but they can also be different. So we're not just talking about like how to use your talent. So sorry to call you out, but Alec. Alec is a plumber, all right? And so Alec has given his talents of being a plumber to the church and saved us a lot of money by doing a lot of free labor for us at the church. But Alec also has a gifting of worship, right? And so he leads worship for us, and he also is in leadership here at the church. So that is different than his occupation. He can go be a really skilled and talented plumber and spread the gospel to people and be in people's homes and encourage people, but he also like has a separate calling and gifting that he gives to the church in that way as well. So it can look different for everybody, but I want you to look at the backs of the chairs. There's a connect card, and on the back, there's a comment section, and I want you to write down what your calling is and what your next step is going to be. Do you need to sign up to volunteer in a ministry here? Do you need help being like, I have zero idea. I don't know. I don't think I ever thought about the fact that I could be called. What is that to you? And if that is the case, put your name on it, fill it out. We want to connect with you to help you figure out, like, where can you plug in? Because this can't just be the pastoral staff doing stuff. That is how churches fail. It takes all of us. We are a community, and we believe that God has gifted you, and we believe that God has called you to use those gifts. To knock it out of the park of what Lativa said, you cannot keep your gifting to yourself. We have to share it with others. We have to use it for the kingdom. And so that is what we're asking you to do. Take the next step to figure out how to do that. Okay? It doesn't have to be like, I think I might be called to be a pastor, so I'm going to go be a pastor tomorrow. Okay, there's a lot of steps in between there, all right? So just talk about what your next step is going to be, or be like, I think maybe this is what I want to do, but I don't know how to get there, and we'll help you name that next step. So please, please fill it out. We want to hear from you. You can also go to your app and do the contact us page, like the contact us button in the church app. You can email one of us. You can text us, but write it down somewhere, because if you just come and tell us, we would love to hear from you. I will forget. And I'm so sorry. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the fact that I'm forgetful. So we want it written down somewhere so that we don't lose track of it and we can stay on top of it. Does everyone understand your homework for the next 5 minutes? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for us, and as I pray, we're going to transition into worship. Yes, one more thing.
With every calling, there's immense privilege. And I think that's one of the things as a physician, I felt so privileged to be a part of people's lives and to be with them at their most intimate moments. And while there's immense privilege, there's also immense responsibility.
So I'm going to pray for us, and I want you to meditate on everything you heard today. It doesn't have to look like one of us. It probably won't look like all of us, but it fits into the bigger picture. So will you bow your heads and pray with me? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship with you. I pray that as we enter into this time of worship and reflecting on what you're calling us to and our vision and how we can use our, not only our talents, but also our spiritual gifting, God, we pray that you would make that abundantly clear what our next step is. Help give us direction, help give us courage, help us see the immense privilege it is to be called by you, even to things that we're afraid of, or we might not have envisioned for ourselves. God, we pray that you will do something special here at Meridian. God, we hand over all of our pride, we hand over all of our fear, we hand over all of our insecurity, and we trade them for something glorious that builds the kingdom up and strengthens our bonds as a church, but also grows your kingdom in a way to tell other people, you have a place here, you have a calling here, because God loves you so much, and we love you too. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for all of the work that you're stirring in our hearts in this moment. We love you so much, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we close this morning and sing How Great Is Our God?